Blog Talk Radio.
Radio, this segment bringing sexy back. I'm your host, Gail Delicious Johnson, and as you know, here on Delicious Talk Radio, we discuss topics of a sexual nature, but not limited to social topics such as relationships, current affairs, and just good old adult conversations. What we don't do, we don't discuss religion or politics, and we have the most fascinating guests on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome back, everybody. I've been on hiatus since April the 29th, my last show. My very important guest was Mitch Creedle, who has a film that's coming out September the 27th titled Boss, and I can't wait to see that. Anyhow, this is going to be a really short show because I'm just getting back, like I had mentioned, and I wanted to let you guys know what was going on with me, and if any of my co-hosts tune in tonight, they're going to discuss what they did over the summer, because the summer is practically gone. We'll be looking at Labor Day, I think, next week sometime in the fall. It's set in the 21st of September. Okay, now, what I have been going through, as you guys may or may not know, I'm on Facebook. And in February, my landlord had died. I rented a house from him for 15 years, you know. Nice home in Capitol Heights, Maryland. You know, just living there and, you know, getting my life along. And, you know, unexpected things happened. My landlord died in February, so, you know, things were kind of bleak for a moment until his wife had called me and told me, you know, that everything was good, that, you know, I didn't have to worry about, you know, moving out of the house or anything, because I was one of the best tenants they ever had, you know, so forth and so on. But needless to say, April the 1st, which was April Fool's Day, my landlord's wife called me. She was crying and, you know, told me I had to move out of the house because her son wanted to sell the house, you know. So, I mean, it took me a minute. It took the breath out of me because I was holding the phone, you know, saying to myself, is this an April Fool's joke or, you know, what's going on? So when I finally got myself together, we discussed it, and it was true. It wasn't a joke. So I had to move out by June. Was the date that she gave me to vacate the premises. Now, this was April the 1st when she had spoken to me and told me that, you know, they were going to sell the house. Needless to say, I had surgery June the 11th on my foot. Oh, my goodness. It was, well, the surgery wasn't painful itself, but, you know, the after effects, it was really terrible because I had a bunion removed from my right toe. And I had to wear this big shoe, walk with crutches, and it was just a nightmare. It was really just beginning because I really couldn't do that much, you know, packing or anything. So I just, you know, was taking my meds and hobbling along and, you know, going back and forth to the doctor. He's checking on the how things were going. And eventually I did get over that, but then it got down to the packing. Now, just imagine living in a house for 15 years and the things that you can accumulate over those years. It was a four-bedroom house, a great big giant backyard, you know, really nice house. Of course, I slept in one of the bedrooms, and another room was I had turned into my office, and another room I had turned into like a little storage room, and in the basement was more or less like an apartment down there, so I was renting out the room that was in the basement until my tenants, they moved out in February. So I was looking around for, you know, new tenants, and I got a new tenant, as a matter of fact, the same day that my landlord's wife had called me and told me they were going to sell the house. So anyway, getting back to me hobbling around, trying to do my packing and this and that, and moving is one of the worst jobs, OMG. And like I said, living in that house all those years, all the things I had accumulated in that house, not to say there were some things that was left over in the house when my daughter had you know, rented the basement at one point. So I'm getting things together, you know, packing, donating, and, you know, just going through this odyssey of getting my things out of that house. Now, I'm going to back the story up a little bit. I had planned on, before I had even moved into this house, because before I moved into this house, I had moved from another house in Washington, D.C. that I was renting from my youngest brother to a condo in Maryland, then from the condo to the house. But before I had moved into the house, I had planned on, once I retired, which I was supposed to have retired in 2013, to relocate to either Atlanta, Florida, Colorado, or California. Okay. But once I got into the house, of course, I got comfortable and, you know, put my little plans on the back burner, not knowing that I was forced to retire in 2005 due to a serious car accident that me and my daughter was in. I was on my way to work, and this guy decides he wants to make a right turn before I got through the light. I mean, it was just, that was just one of the days that I said, oh, my goodness. So that I was forced to retire because they only gave me a year off, and I wasn't done with everything. I went through therapy, but I still was having problems with my left knee, so they did surgery on that. And I supposedly went back to work September the 27th, but I wasn't finished everything, you know, getting released from the doctor until October. I think it was the 1st of October or something like that. So I called my job. They're telling me that I was terminated, and it was as if someone had just hit me in the head with a ton of bricks. I couldn't believe it. You know, it was almost as if I acted like I got up that morning and said, well, I'm going to get in an accident before I go to work. Anyhow, you know, so I spoke with the lady in the employment office, and she tells me, now, mind you, I've been on that job for almost 20 years, that particular hospital, because I did my clinicals at Greater Southeast. But anyway, she tells me I could come back, But here is the deal. I would lose all my seniority. My pay would start over again. You know, crazy stuff. So I'm saying to myself, you mean to tell me I have to start from the bottom up? And I know what it's like being at the bottom because I was there. You know, so I said to myself, I really don't think I really want to go to the bottom and start all over again. So they paid me out in my insurance. Then I turned my money that I had saved up on a job into an IRA, and, you know, someone called me from Social Security and told me to sign up for Social Security. I went through this, that, you know, it was like something that I would never, ever want to go through again in my life. But anyway, that's what happened in 2005. So then in 2006, I started writing my book, my very first book that was published in 2009, because I had to put it on the back burner for a few years because my funds was running out. I had to get another job, which was I started with Passion Parties. I sell adult novelties and toys and different things like that. So I did that for a couple of years, went to Vegas twice to the conventions, had, you know, it was really good times, you know, fun and all this and that. But eventually I gave that up. Because of the simple fact that the recession hit and people weren't really requesting the parties, you know, when I first started it out. So I gave that up and started, you know, back writing and, you know, completed my first book, had that published, and I've written 5 books since then. Started my own publishing company in 2012, but I'm not going to veer off of what I did while I was on vacation. Or, you know, this little hiatus I took. So anyway, I finally, well, the day that the movers came, I was still packing because it was only me and one other young lady that, you know, helped me pack. My BFF, she had helped me pack. And then this other young lady who, you know, had helped me pack. And I really do appreciate her for doing that for me because she really hung in there with me, and the day that I was moving, which was on a Saturday, which was the 1st of August, yeah, because I was supposed to be out the end of July, the landlord extended my time there. So anyway, we're packing, and we went to bed about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. I got up at 4:30 and started packing. We were still packing when the movers got there, but it was really a smooth transition, you know, getting everything on a truck. They were really moving our stuff out quickly, and, you know, we got things in storage, and I got things moved to where I am now. And to make that long story short, I'm really going to still do my relocation like I had planned, but I chose Atlanta, and I'm going to hit Atlanta like a white tornado. I really have some big plans for when I go to Atlanta because I've decided that that's where I wanted to go. I know, you know, a few people down there, and I know I'm going to meet a host of other people down there. I know there are some of my friends that are on Facebook that are in Atlanta. Then there are some people that I met personally that are in Atlanta. So like I said, I'm going to hit it like a white tornado. And you guys will be hearing from me. I don't know exactly. I think it won't probably be until maybe this time next year that I will be going, you know, to Atlanta. But that's the place I chose to relocate to. You know, and then like I said, it was something that was in the makings. It was supposed to have happened in 2013, but, you know, I didn't retire in 2013. I was forced to retire in 2005. So with that being said, that's one of the little adventures that I was on, and it was really, really rough because the pain really had not subsided completely in my foot, and then all that moving around and walking and being on my feet, you know, I was really like going through emotional trauma, you know, and, you know, dealing with finding a storage bin, and it was just a nightmare. So I finally got settled in, and, you know, things are looking much better. But last Friday, I was in a car accident. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Don't drive down the road crying. Don't drive down the road doing anything that you're not supposed to be doing except for keeping your eyes on the road, because that's what had happened. A friend of mine, my dear, dear, dear friend, had a heart attack. And it was just so overwhelming for me until I was just thinking about, you know, just losing this friend, because you guys already know that I've been through so many funerals. I mean, and as a matter of fact, since I've been on hiatus, I've been to 3 funerals, you know, and then my BFF. I just didn't want to lose my BFF. So, you know, just, and it happened so fast until I just looked up and I had hit a parked, this little 1996 parked truck. And when I got out, the damage to my car was, of course, on the driver's side, because I really didn't see what had happened, but it happened so fast. So I get out, and a young man was standing in the yard where I'd hit the truck, and I asked him, I said, do you know whose truck this is? And he said, no. And he went on back into the house. So I'm calling my daughter. Then I called the police, and the police took a little while to get there. But in the meantime, the person who claimed that it was their truck had drove up with this guy, this young lady. She was an African. She gets out the truck, and she said, oh, my goodness, what happened to my truck? I said, well, I hit it. Well, what happened? I said, I don't know, you know, because it just happened so fast. And I'm telling you, when your eyes leave the road, it can happen within you can just blink your eye, and you can be in an accident. So we're standing out there. She's asking me for all my information, and I'm still in shock, feeling dizzy. So I sat down in my car, and, you know, it was really something really shady going on with that whole thing, because I could see the damage that I did to her truck, and I really wasn't speeding, you know, up the street or anything like that. Then she gonna tell me, you broke my axle. So I said, where's your axle at? So she showed me, and I still don't know if that was an axle or what it was, because I'm not mechanically inclined. I don't know anything about cars. All I know is how to put oil in when it gets low on oil, put the gas in it, wash the windows and, you know, stuff, check my vital fluids that I may need. But I don't know anything about the parts. I know what the radiator is, but, you know, under the carriage and all this and that. So I said, well, I don't know, you know, if I did or not. But lo and behold, this man that she was with, they were taking all these pictures and this and that, and she just gives me on a little piece of paper. She wanted to see my license, my insurance company, this, that, all this and that. So anyway, the guy that she was with got in the truck. Well, the truck was knocked sideways, backed the truck up and parked it on the other side of the street. Now, I thought maybe when you was in an accident, you're not supposed to move anything, but they moved the truck from one side of the street to the other side of the street and parked it up a little bit on the sidewalk. Okay, so then the police comes, and I was so confused. I didn't remember the insurance company that I was with. I thought I was with State Farm, but I'm with Allstate. And I told the officer, because I didn't have my insurance, proof of insurance in my car. I cleaned my glove box out, took it out, and forgot to put it back in. So anyway, he calls it in, and he finds out which insurance company that, no, I had the thing that was stuck in my car, you know, the little thing they give you, I stuck that in there. So I told him, I said, I don't have State Farm, I have Allstate. He tried to get huffy with me, and I'm just saying to myself, wait a minute, you know, I'm not getting, you know, off with you. All I wanted you to know was that I had given you the wrong information. Okay, ma'am, we'll go back and sit down in your car, whatever, you know. So I went back and sat in my car. So in the meantime, I hear the police woman asking this lady, I can't even say her name, is, oh, whatever her name was, she had an African name, asking her for some identification. Where was her driver's license? So she said, oh, if you had asked me for that 15 minutes ago, or something she said, but anyway, to the effect, she said she had a work ID, but she couldn't, you know, she didn't really have to show a driver's ID unless she was driving and she wasn't driving. So the lady, the policewoman asked, well, you know, this your truck? So she said that was her work truck. Now, granted, the truck already had some damage done to it. And the truck, I have a girlfriend that lives across the street. She said she's seen that truck parked out there, just been parked there, you know. But anyway, a few days later, after everything had died down, I spoke to my insurance company and I told them that I think something shady's going on. So a few days went by and I went around there again. Why is that truck parked on the other side of the street going in the wrong direction, up on the curb, you know? And I said to myself, I certainly hope that they're not claiming that I knocked that truck from one side of the street to the other side of the street, because the police knows, and they took an accident report and everything. So I'm going to, you know, call my insurance company and find out the status on that, because they told me to keep in touch with them, because, you know, if they're trying to pull something shady to get all that truck fixed up, because, like I said, there was damage already done to it. And then she was picking up parts because my light had fallen off. Some things had fallen off my car. She was picking up parts from my car. I said, ma'am, that came off of my car. And the only thing I saw that I did on her car was I knocked the light, one of the lights on the I think that's the driver's side, on the driver's side out, and the door. You know, I messed up the door. I do know that. But, you know, people who always try to get over on other people, be very careful, because it can backfire. It can really backfire. And then she's going to tell me, because the police was saying, did she want the truck towed or whatever, whatever. So she said, no. So he said, well, you might get a ticket on it. So she's going to tell me, if she get a ticket, she's going to send it to me. I said, you better send it to your insurance company, because I got two citations myself, one for not having my insurance. And then they said I failed to pay attention. But like I said, it doesn't matter what you do when you're driving. Always, always, always keep your eyes on the road. You know, always keep your eyes on the road, because if you don't, you may end up doing what I did, you know. So even crying, you know, but I was upset, so that's what happened with that. And I just want to say, if anybody out there has an adventure they would like to share, feel free to call in. The call-in number is 646-652-2877. And right now we're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Bringing Sexy Back, right here on Delicious Talk Radio. There is no religion or politics spoken here, only delicious adult conversation. Audience participation is encouraged, so log in and create an account to engage in conversation in our chat room. Feel free to call in with your questions and comments at 646-652-2877. That's 646-652-2877. And let's get this delicious talk conversation going.
Listen up. I got to tell you about this beautiful author and publisher, Gail Delicious Johnson. Gail Delicious Johnson is proud to announce the publication of her new revised issue of her latest suspenseful novel, Back to Zero. Read this riveting story of intrigue, conflict, love, and suspense. Follow the trail of abuse, secrets, lies, and love. And check it out. You can't just read the back of the book, because you have to prepare yourself for the mind-blowing, explosive ending. Order your personally autographed copy of Back to Zero by visiting www.jjpublishing.com. That's www.jayjaypublishing.com. Back to Zero is a fictional story with a dash of reality. It's a tale about Anthony Thomas, a man who lost the most precious things in his life, starting with his first childhood love, Gloria. Tragedy soon followed after losing his mom to cancer, and shortly thereafter, he lost his wife, Lynn, and son, Junior, in a horrific car crash. With each traumatic incident, Anthony was branded, sending him back to zero. 30 years later, Anthony runs into Gloria, and the flames in their hearts are still burning. Gloria, now a law enforcement official who also comes with baggage, a psychotic husband named Wayne Anderson who is out of control. He, too, is a law enforcement official that's abusive, jealous, and an alcoholic. Wayne treats Gloria miserable. While snooping behind his wife, he finds out that she had research information concerning Anthony on the internet. Wayne goes into a rage of madness like a rabid dog because in his sick, twisted mind, he feels threatened and accuses Gloria of sleeping with Anthony. Often, he would evict her from the house, but not realizing the night would come when he forces his wife straight into the arms of Anthony. After spending an intense, earth-shattering night of lovemaking, Gloria opens up and confesses to Anthony that she still loves him. Rekindling their relationship is dangerous, and Wayne will stop at nothing to make his wife and her first love's life a miserable hell while fighting his own demons. Wayne harbors a deep, dark, and deadly secret, one he thought he and only the devil knew. Find out what happens when Gloria uncovers the truth about her abusive, lawless husband's mysterious past. The devastation will bring the three of them together in an explosive confrontation. Find out the shocking secrets Wayne harbored and prepare yourself for who will pay the ultimate price for his lawless actions. Gail Delicious Johnson says, Back to Zero will take you where the law becomes the abuser. Order this fast-paced, action-packed field drama by best-selling author Gail Delicious Johnson from her web store at JJ Publishing. That's J-A-Y-J-A-Y Publishing.com. Remember, abuse is never an option.
that's Betty Wright. Your husband is cheating on us. I think that song is hilarious. Your husband's cheating on us. Well, you got a lot of them out there doing that. But anywho, back to Delicious Talk Radio, this segment bringing sexy back. And this is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. Just chopping it up with you guys since I've been on hiatus, what I've been up to, and you know, letting you know what was going on with me. You know, I was hoping some of my co-hosts would tune in, but they may be a little bit busy this evening. So I'm here holding the fort down all by myself. You know, like I said, if there's anyone out there who had an adventurous summer or anything that you did that was spectacular over the summer that you'd like to discuss, please feel free to call in. The call-in number is 646-652-2877. Again, that number is 646-652-2877. Yeah, so anyway, back to my adventurous summer. I moved, was in a car accident. Let's see what else. And then I've lost three more friends. My cousin died July the 4th. A friend of mine died, I think it was in April, the end. It may have been June or May. But anyway, and then another friend of mine just died. Let's see, when did he die? He died August the 15th. You know, so they're checking out, and, you know, I thank God every day that I wake up because, you know, we never know the moment, the second, the minute when our time is going to be up. So all I can say is I'm grateful and feel blessed when I do see another day, regardless to my circumstances, because at one point I was feeling like I was down so low that, you know, I couldn't see up. But there's a saying that Les Brown is going to be coming to town soon, I think sometime this month. And there's this saying that he said, if you fall on your back and you can see up, you can get up. So I was down on my back. I saw up. I got up. And I'm going to stay up, you know. And any time I go down, I'm always going to get up because, like you said, if you can see up, you can get up. And I always look at it that, you know, I know there's someone out there who's in a situation worse than mine. So I'm grateful, you know, even though my car is a little damaged, it's still drivable. There are people out there that has to take the bus and stand out in the hot sun and, you know, just go through all the antics that go on, the public transportation. So you know what? My car may be damaged, the body and all this and that, but it's still drivable. I am thankful for that. Then there are people who may have been evicted from their homes or put out of their homes and are living on the street. But thank God I have my sister who, you know, extended, you know, her home to me, and this is where I'm going to be staying until I relocate. And I love my sister for that. I really do, you know, because she could have said, no, you can't come and stay here, you know, and not to say that I would live on the streets, but, you know, I am homeless. I am homeless because I don't have my own home, but I have shelter that I have my own bed. I have phone, television. I just have all the comforts of home, but, you know, I'm not, you know, in my own home. So I am grateful for that. Then I have people who are, you know, supportive of, you know, what I'm doing, you know, enhancing my happiness and, you know, keeping in touch with me and encouraging me. You know, those are people that I truly love. I love everybody, but, you know, when people go out of their way to, you know, assist me or to, you know, make sure that I'm not feeling down and I'm not going through, you know, different things that I don't necessarily need to go through, because I eat every day. I have, you know, a place where I can take a shower. I have my own bathroom, you know, in here because I'm, you know, in my sister's basement. It's really like an apartment down here. And my own entrance and exit, you know, so I'm grateful. I'm counting my blessings, you know, definitely counting my blessings, and hope you guys that, you know, are out there, you know, always remember that, you know, anything that you're going through, and if you can't handle it, just give it to God. Let go and let God, because that's exactly what, you know, I've done since, you know, my landlord's wife told me that they were going to sell the house. I just said, well, you know what, God, I'm just going to put it in your hands. Whatever happens, happens. If I have to go to a shelter or whatever, but, you know, like I said, fortunately, my sister extended help to me, so I'm living in her basement temporarily. And, you know, so I'm just rambling on, you know, just rambling and, you know, trying to fill you guys in on what was going on with me, you know, why I went on hiatus. And, you know, also I'm going to be adding another segment to Delicious Talk Radio. I'm going to add a story time where I'm going to read my books, my first books that I first published, my first book that I'm going to read. I'm going to read chapters from my first book. Maybe I'll do an hour's reading. That will start sometime this month. I don't know exactly when, but I think I'll be doing that on Tuesday evenings, if not Tuesday, Thursday. But I will let you guys know when that's going to happen. And I'm quite sure you're going to enjoy the stories, you know, when I read them to you. You know, my first book is my baby, and I still read, you know, my own books because they're that entertaining to me. And, you know, anytime they're that entertaining to me, I got good reviews for my books, and I write from my heart. You know, when you write a book from your heart, it's generally a good book. And I have 5 books published. What's Past is Not Forgotten was my first book, and after that I wrote You May Get Lucky. Then after that, I wrote a book of delicious erotic short stories. And then I wrote the sequel to What's Past is Not Forgotten, The Reunion. And I started my publishing company in 2012. And my first published book from my publishing company is Back to Zero. Now, that book is just jumping off the shelf. I can't really keep it around but for so long, you know, but it's a very good story about, it's basically a love story, a story of abuse, a story of law enforcement officials who abuse his authority as a law enforcement official. But it's a story that is basically very close to my heart, because what this young lady is going through in this book is similar to what I went through in my life, being in a domestic violence relationship and being sexually abused and, you know, just going through the things that this young lady went through. But the outcome, our outcomes were totally different. I'm not going to give away the story. If you'd like to order that book, you can go to my website, which is jjpublishing.com, and order your autographed copy and, you know, read the story. And you can order any of my other books from my website as well. So with that being said, the time is almost up because I only scheduled the show for 45 minutes, and we only have 4 minutes and 28 seconds left in the show. But I did want to let you guys know that that segment will be coming up where I will be reading my books. But I'm not going to read Back to Zero because that's, you know, still selling, and I really don't want to give anybody the spoilers off the book. You guys getting ready for Empire? Yes, that'll be back. And did you all catch Power? That, oh my goodness, I can't wait for that to come back. And that daggone cruddy, what's his name? 50 Cent. What was his name in the Power? But anyway, he's dead, you know. But I was hoping that something was going to happen to him because he was just cruddy, you know. But Power, I've watched so many series until it isn't funny, you know. But now I'm watching a series called The Affair that comes on Showtime. That'll be back October the 4th. If you guys want to watch something very good, watch that. You can catch the first season on Hulu, Showtime, or even, I think they may have it on Netflix, I'm not sure, but you can catch it on Hulu. And Hell on Wheels, Ballers, there's just so many different series that I've watched, and, you know, would like to share it with you guys as well. And we're getting down to the wire, so I'm going to, you know, let you guys go. Remember to love somebody, be kind to people, don't drink and drive, keep your eyes on the road, you know, because I always love talking to you guys, not about you. And with that being said, I'm going to say good night. Love you guys. See you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to my Nana's Internet Radio Show, because it's the best. Good night.